This is Victoria, producer for The Felon File, a podcast on law enforcement history, issues, and incidents in the Appalachian Mountains of the United States and beyond. Listen to in 39 countries around the world. Scott Lunsford hosts The Felon File. Scott is a retired American police sergeant. Background and intro music through purpleplanet.com.
Welcome back to another episode of The Felon File, podcast, as Victoria said, where we look at crime and punishment, the good guys, the bad guys, some of the issues that have law enforcement related that have taken place in the Appalachian Mountains and beyond. And once more, we're going to go and step beyond our normal conversations and look at some of the bad guys in other parts of the world. If you listened last week, you'll remember I told you about a conversation I was having with some friends, and the talk ended up turning to murder and serial killers. Besides making the other people in the restaurant a bit uncomfortable, I continued the conversation elsewhere, and it became a discussion basically of which side of the ocean had the craziest people and the worst serial killers. So Victoria put some information together for us, and we did some more research and put these two podcasts together, and possibly a third one. Still doing some research on that. But anyway, today we're talking about Victoria's United Kingdom killers. In particular, we're speaking of Fred and Rosemary West. Fred West lived in Gloucester, England. Am I saying that right?
Pronounced Glastonbury. Glastonbury is also reputed to be the burial place of King Arthur.
Thank you, Victoria. He and his future wife, Rose, became one of the evilest serial killers in the United Kingdom history. And after this research, I kind of agree with that. Now, his wife, Rose, is responsible for the dismemberment and murder of women and young girls, including two members of their own family. West was awaiting trial for 12 murders when he hung himself. Frederick West was born to Walter and Daisy West on September 29, 1941, a village in England, Herefordshire. Victoria, can you pronounce that for me, please?
Herefordshire village, God.
Thank you. Apparently, he was just your average boy growing up. Nothing stood out with him that gave any indication of his future activities or his nature. His aunt telling the media that he has always been such a nice boy. Well, one of his neighbors did describe him as cheeky and a bit mouthy, which you may recall was a description used in Mel Gibson's The Patriot movie. Cheeky and a bit mouthy. Fred was one of six kids in the family, but according to some families, he was his mama's favorite. Other reports claim that West was sexually abused by his mother. West later told authorities that his father had incestuous relationships with young girls, though that was never substantiated. West didn't do too well in school and ended up dropping out to become a farm laborer. At the age of 17, a motorcycle accident left him comatose with serious head injuries for about a week. It's debated whether a metal plate that had to be installed due to his head injury from the accident may have affected his behaviors and impulse control. West later ended up receiving another head injury, possibly permanent brain damage, when he fell off a fire escape at a local youth club and banged his head again. After that, West's behavior became even more erratic, committing misdemeanor crimes and having several police encounters. In 1961, he was accused of impregnating a 13-year-old girl. A family friend that caused his family to not want to have anything to do with him. Fred West was working construction and was caught stealing from his employers and again having sex with minors. At his trial for the rape of the 13-year-old girl, he was able to escape prison time. His lawyers told the court he was suffering fits due to his head trauma, but he was still convicted. He just wasn't locked up. Now, not having to serve actual time for the offense, Fred was able to meet Rena Costello, a Scottish girl with a police record for burglary and prostitution. At the time, she was a future baby mama for somebody else. The two continued to date for a while and were soon married in November of 1962. The child was born about 6 months later and named Charmaine. It's a pretty name. To help his growing family, Fred West was able to locate a job as an ice cream truck operator. Unfortunately, this is the type of job that's almost perfect for a pedophile, giving him access to young teenagers and future victims. In 1964, the two had another child, a daughter that they named Anna Marie. Also a pretty name. About this time, two ended up meeting Anna or Annie McFall. They all moved to Gloucester, where West found a job in a slaughterhouse. And it's debated as to this possibly being where he became desensitized to blood and gore and basic dismemberment. At this time in Gloucester, 8 incidents of assaults where the suspect fit West's description, but no physical evidence or circumstantial evidence was able to be linked between him and those particular crimes till way later. Of course, the marriage hit a few rocky points, enough that Rena ended up returning to Scotland, leaving her children, which I don't understand, with West and McFall. Returning months later to find them all living together in a van in a car park. English for parking lot, I believe. In 1967, McFall became pregnant herself. She started trying to convince West to divorce Rena and marry her. West's answer was to kill the pregnant McFall and bury her near the car where they had been living. He also cut off her fingers and toes. This actually ended up becoming a signature for Fred West and his crimes. Rena, finding out that McFall had disappeared, or what Fred said, she had run off, she ended up moving back in with West in order to help him take care of the children. 6 months later, 15-year-old Mary Bastholm was abducted from a bus stop in Gloucester. Circumstantial evidence ended up linking West to the incident, but he was never charged. That same year in November, he became acquainted with Rose Lett. Letts was born in Devon, England in 1953. Now, Letts had her own mental health issues. When she was born, both her parents suffered from mental illness. As a matter of fact, while her mother was pregnant, she was given electroconvulsive therapy, better known as shock treatments, for deep depression. This probably caused some prenatal injury that contributed to Rose's poor school performance and bouts of aggression and other issues while she was growing up. Letts also had a weight problem in adolescence and developed an interest in, unfortunately, older men. It is a tragic collection of circumstances in that family. Her father was a paranoid schizophrenic, prone to violent behavior, and demanding and a dictating parent. Her mother, Daisy, moved out of the family home, taking Rose with her. However, Rose ended up deciding to move back in with her dad about the same time she became intimate with Wes during her teen years. Now, Dad wasn't for the relationship at all. Getting in touch with local social services there and threatening Wes personally. That didn't bother Wes or Rose, who was ended up being soon pregnant with Wes' child, and taking on the mother role as well for his two previous children. Not long after, Wes was imprisoned on various petty theft and other charges. Rose gave birth to their daughter, Heather, in 1970. Being a child pretty much herself with a child of her own, and now having to take care of two other children, while Dad was in jail, was probably one of the contributing factors for Rose's violent, erratic tendencies. In 1971, in a fit of rage, she ended up murdering 8-year-old Charmaine West, West's oldest child, while having one of her breakdowns. She wasn't linked to the crime right away. The 8-year-old simply disappeared. With Wes being in jail, it's thought that Rose had hid her body until he was released. Once released and told of what happened, he moved the body to another location, again removing the fingers and toes as he did with his first victim before burying his daughter. Sick man. All of this gave Wes a strong hold over Rose that he took advantage of. When Wes' first wife, Rena, came to locate her missing 8-year-old, she was strangled and dismembered by the couple. Of course, having her fingers and toes removed as well. And she was buried in the same general area as Wes' first victim, Anna McFall. Fred and Rose West were secretly married in January of 72, and their second daughter, Marie, was born in June of that same year. They moved to 25 Cromwell Street there in Gloucester, where the house was large enough to take in lodgers to assist with the rent and even help with their growing family, as well as West's hobbies, so to speak. By this time, Rose earned extra money, also was working as a prostitute, and West committed acts of bondage and violent sex acts on underage girls. The two of them turned the basement of their residence into a virtual torture chamber. The daughter, Anna Marie, became one of its first casualties, the young child being sexually assaulted by her father while her stepmother held her down. Becoming a regular activity with the child, and the child threatened with beatings if she ever told anyone. In late 1972, the couple hired a 17-year-old nanny, or babysitter, for the children by the name of Caroline Owens. She was also locked in the house dungeon and eventually raped. She was also threatened with being killed and buried if she talked or told anybody about it. Despite the threats that she would be killed, made an escape, and notified the police of what had happened. Charges were soon brought against the two. Somehow, Wes was able to convince a court magistrate that the nanny had consented to the act, and therefore it really wasn't a crime. Now, as would be expected, Owens was way too traumatized to actually give testimony when it came time for a trial. The charges were dropped to misdemeanors, and the West both escaped with just civil fines. Rose again was pregnant with their first son, Stephen, who was born in August. Over the next several years, young ladies Linda Googe, Lacey Partington, and Juanita Mott, Teresa Slinginger, Allison Chambers, Shirley Robinson, and two 15-year-old schoolgirls, Carol Cooper and Shirley Hubbard, would become victims of the West and their hellish dungeon. After several sexual tortures and sexual assaults, all these individuals were murdered, dismembered, and buried in the basement at 25 Cromwell Street. Rose had several more children. A daughter, Louise, was born in 78. Because of her work as a prostitute, it's figured that not all of Rose's children belonged to West. Barry West was born in 1980 and Rosemary in 1982, and Luciana in 1983. The older children were aware to a degree of mom and dad's hobbies. Fred and Rose ruled their house with strict discipline and control over them, and nothing was said. West's sexual interest in his daughters didn't wane either, though. When Anna Marie moved out to live with her boyfriend, he ended up switching his attention to the younger children, Heather and May. Heather resisted his attention and in 1987 told a friend about what was going on in the house, and the friend notified her parents. The West's response to the allegations said to her friend was simple. They murdered and dismembered the little girl, their daughter, burying her in the back garden of the house. Son Stephen was forced to assist with digging the grave. I guess the basement must have been full. The West's sexual activity with minors and others didn't always end in murder every time. Hence, it's really not surprising that at some point, due to the volume of the activities the two were involved in, word would eventually get out. A detective constable, Hazel Savage, with this information, conducted a search at the Cromwell Street house in August of 1992. He discovered child pornography and very clear evidence of child abuse. West was arrested for the rape and sodomy of a minor, and Rose for assisting in the rape of a child. During his investigation, Savage discovered the abuse of Anna Marie and the disappearance of Charmaine and Heather, increasing the size of the investigation and the scope of it. The younger West children were taken into England's equivalent of Child Protective Services. When this happened, Rose attempted suicide. She was found by her son Stephen, who called for help, and she was able to be revived. Of course, during the initial criminal court cases against the West, the cases ended up collapsing when two key witnesses refused to testify. Savage continued the search for Heather, questioning the West children. The children had, though, been so well indoctrinated by their parents, interviewing the children was basically useless. In February of 1994, another warrant was obtained to search the Cromwell Street house and the garden once more. Police found the remains of two dismembered and decapitated female bodies, one identified as Shirley Robinson. When the bodies started being located, West claimed sole responsibility. While being questioned when he told of the confession, Rose denied all knowledge of Heather's death. In another interview, West suddenly began talking about the bodies in the basement. Savage and his team went back and discovered the remains of 9 individuals buried there. Identifying the discovered victims became a significant undertaking and required quite a bit of Scotland Yard's manpower and expertise. West disclosed the location of the remains of his first wife, Rena, his lover, Annie McFall, and daughter, Charmaine, all three buried away from the Cromwell Street house and the bodies in the basement. Rose increasingly tried to distance herself from West, telling investigators she was also a victim. Regardless of what she continued to say, investigators really didn't put much stock in her statements. The number of murdered victims and the fact the bodies were in her basement, and information that she had taken part in several of the sexual activity put an awful lot of doubt on her not having any knowledge of the crimes, more or less covering them up. December 1994, Wes was charged with 12 counts of murder. He was placed in Winston Green Prison in Birmingham, England. On the first day of the new year of 1995, Fred West hung himself in his cell by knotting together his bedsheets. Sounds like another pedophile we know. This left Rose West to face trial 10 months later by herself. During the, of course, media free-for-all, witnesses including the stepdaughter, Anna Marie, testified about her mother's participation in the sexual assaults on young women. The defense argued that evidence of assault was not evidence of murder. When Rose testified, and she did testify, her violent nature and previous false statements became very apparent to the jury, when several times she went into yelling jags and screaming from the stand. The jury found her guilty of 10 counts of murder during the over 1 month trial. She was given a life sentence, which in English law meant serving at least 25 years. Rose West's sentence was later extended to the legal term whole life order, sentence by the Home Secretary, which basically means you ain't getting out except horizontally, removing any possibility of parole as well. It is estimated Fred and Rose West's victims were more than the 12 they were charged with. Rose West continued to fight for release, using the system like any criminal would, no matter what part of the world the case is occurring in. She appealed the court's decision, making it back to court in 1996 and once more in 2000. Through her attorneys, she claimed discovery of new evidence that would clear her that this evidence had been found and that the press and the media had kept her from receiving a fair trial. The 1996 appeal was rejected, and West ended up dropping the appeal that she made in 2000. She is still in prison today. The West home at 25 Cromwell Street, or the House of Horrors, as the media called it, was torn down in October of 1996. It was replaced with a walking path to the center of town. Rose ended up making the news again in 2023 when the rumor came out she was going to marry Dave Glover, the bass player for the rock group Slade, following a relationship the two had by mail. Rose had told her lawyer, Leo Goatley, quote, "I've fallen in love with one of the members of Slade. I'm getting married. For real this time," unquote. Although the two had never met, West said that Glover was a more suitable partner than her psychopath husband. You think? When Glover was interviewed, he said there was no engagement, and the media attention over his personal letters that he did write to Rose cost him his position in the band. The band fired. "I am not and was never," he said, "planning to marry Rosemary West," he told the press. "I did write to her after reading her decision not to proceed with her appeal in European courts in 2000. I firmly believe that Rosemary West was wrongly convicted of murder, and I wrote to tell her that I was sorry she could not proceed. We became good friends, although reports that we spoke to each other daily and exchanged hundreds of love letters are untrue. I am no longer in contact with Rosemary West." Her lawyer, Mr. Goatley, cool name for an attorney, confirmed this. Her relationship with Dave Glover is at an end, and she wants to give this young man back his life. Rose is still currently an inmate at His Majesty's Prison, New Fall, West Yorkshire, United Kingdom, where she still works trying to get the no paroled order overturned so that she can get out. Well, England, if you're listening to this, I hope you leave her locked up. Seems like the safest place for her and the community. Right, Victoria? Yeah, she's waving at me. Okay. Well, that's all our Shade of Blue story for today. I hope you found it interesting. There's a lot of strange things that happen in the world. And the best way to combat a lot of the evil is basically just being a nice person. If you have the opportunity, stand up and do the right thing. If more people did it, of course the world would be a better place. But in the meantime, remember, be safe and be responsible and do the right thing. It's really the best thing to do. If you want to check out our website, you can go to scottlunsfordauthor.com or felonfile.com, where you can find links to the podcast and links to our stuff page, where you can pick up t-shirts and coffee mugs if you so desire. And at scottlunsfordauthor.com, you can find links there to purchase my books, and I hope to have a new one out there relatively soon. Keep an eye open for that. And of course, you can drop us a line by email at felonfile@gmail.com. We'd really like to hear from you. Suggestions or opposing viewpoints, or just want to say, hey, we'd love to hear from you. We appreciate you listening. And if you have a friend, give them a recommendation if you like the show. We'll talk to you guys later. Victoria, you've got the control board back. Bye, y'all.
This has been The Felon File, a discussion on law enforcement, history, issues, and incidents in the Appalachian Mountains and other parts of the world. For more information, you can go to felonfile.com or scottlunsfordauthor.com. Here you can find links to Scott and Num books and other information. You can also email us at felonfile@gmail.com. There are also t-shirts and mugs available. You can also buy us a cup of coffee, or help purchase some of the research material and expenses it takes to do Felon File. Click on the coffee image on the webpage to do so. This is Victoria, your producer. Thank you for listening. Have a good one.